For the past two Wednesday evenings, I have had the privilege of teaching January Bible study at First Baptist Church in Richmond. And in the course of teaching the Bible study, I dealt with a passage from Matthew's Gospel in which Jesus says to his disciples as he sends the 12 out on mission that they are not to go to the Gentiles, they are not to go to the Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I read that text and then I thought, as I remembered moving deeper into Matthew, indeed to the final verses of Matthew, there is that very familiar challenge that Jesus gives to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. We know it as the Great Commission. And so I found myself in a quandary as I was teaching that Bible study. On one moment in Jesus' ministry, he is saying to his closest followers that they are not to go to the Gentiles, they are not to go to the Samaritans, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those people who are right around him. And just a little while later, a matter probably only of months, Jesus is saying, go into all the world with the gospel. It's one of those odd challenges to try to interpret exactly what Jesus was saying in the one instance versus the other instance. Now, I cite that not to direct us off in the direction of trying to understand those two passages this morning. I cite that to say that there are portions, even in the teachings of Jesus, that challenge us because we find it hard to interpret them. How do we interpret the one in the light of the other? This morning, however, Mike Holloman's just read for you a lesson where there is no question about what is said. Here in Romans chapter 12, Paul makes a series of simple statements about the Christian life and how we are to live ourselves and how we are to relate to other people in and outside the Christian community. Listen to what he said. Let your love be sincere. Hate what is evil. Hold fast, seize what is good. Show honor to one another. Be zealous. Serve the Lord. Hope joyfully. Suffer patiently. Pray continually. Contribute to the needs of your fellow Christians. Be hospitable to strangers. Don't curse, but bless those who persecute you. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Weep with those who are weeping. Live in harmony with other people. Be humble. Don't claim to be smarter than you are. Don't seek revenge towards someone who wrongs you. If you have an enemy, feed him. Give him something to drink. And whenever someone meets you with evil, meet them with good. Now, is there anything in this list you do not understand? Everything that Paul writes here is 100% clear. If you're bothered by anything on this list, it's not because you are confused or befuddled about what Paul was trying to say. It's because you do understand it and you find it difficult to do. Remember that when Paul wrote these words, it was some 30 years or so after Jesus left the scene. And Paul is simply trying to tell those who are his friends in the Christian community how they are to walk the way of Jesus. 7 days a week, through the work week and through the weekend. This is how Christians are supposed to treat one another. This is how Christians are to live and treat people in the society as a whole. By my count, there are 20 little virtues or maxims or statements in this lesson. And I think a 20 to 25 minute sermon could be preached on all 20 of these. By my calculation, that would be about 7 hours worth of preaching. Some of you picked the wrong Sunday to be in church. I hope you packed a lunch. These simple statements by the Apostle Paul to the Christians living in Rome long ago, 2,000 years ago, describe for us what is really simple goodness. The kind of goodness that endears us to other people, the kind of goodness that enables people living in community to live in harmony with one another. And I want to unpack briefly this paragraph, these sentence sermons that the apostle gave so long ago. The first thing that I would say is that this is simply a case of Paul giving what I think are garden variety virtues. There's really nothing dramatic here, nothing remarkable, nothing that stands out as particularly heroic. This is a pretty ordinary list. Now, if you are involved in food preparation from time to time, you know that there are some very basic things that you have to have in your kitchen cabinets in order to cook. You need salt and pepper and sugar and flour, eggs, milk, butter. If you grew up, as I did, in the home of a mother who was from a rural area in the South, you need 3 times the quantities of butter, salt, and sugar. And you need to add bacon fat and grits. The term that we use for these simple basic ingredients are staples. And these staples enable us to do 7 day a week cooking. If you grew up in another part of the world, your staples might be different. Some years ago, I spent almost 9 days in India. We had curry in breakfast, curry at lunch, curry at dinner, curry for a snack. If you grew up in that wonderful continent across the world, curry is the staple seasoning for their food. If you grew up in Latin America or in Middle Eastern culture, you too would have different staples than I grew up with in the South. This list in Romans chapter 12 is Paul simply giving the staples of a Christian lifestyle. This is what we need for 7 day a week living. if you want your life to look like the life of Jesus, if you want your community to function like a Christian community in harmony, then you need to have these 20 or so basic staples as a part of your lifestyle. Don't let your love be phony, Paul says. Treat other people good, not evil. Treat them with honor and with blessing. When you serve the Lord with passion, with energy, with zeal. Serve the Lord like you mean it. Hope. Persevere in tough times. Pray constantly. Treat the saints and the strangers equally well. Have some empathy with other people. When they're laughing, laugh with them. When tears are rolling down their cheeks, cry with them. And above all, do your very best always to be at peace with other people. And if they're not at peace with you, that's their problem and not your problem. As common as these simple rules for living are, if we were to do this day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year, create this kind of lifestyle, we would find ourselves acting somewhat differently than our culture. If you look around us and the culture in which we live, you realize that many of these virtues are not espoused by people. And thus, we have the disharmony that often arises in the culture in which we live. The other thing that I would emphasize this morning is that these virtues of which Paul writes come to us in response to the grace of God working in our lives and in our midst. They are not works that enable us to achieve grace. We don't achieve the grace of God because we are good. We are good because God has demonstrated His grace toward us. And this is a very important distinction in the life and ministry of Paul. For Paul, simple goodness, righteousness, was not a human achievement. It was the result of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and is doing in us and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live our lives with simple goodness because God enables us to. Now, having said that, Paul gives this list because he understands that goodness has to be worked at every single day of our lives. None of us can pick up the Bible at bedtime, read the Sermon on the Mount, close the Bible, put it on the bedside table, and awaken 7 or 8 hours later as holy, righteous people. It's just not that simple. We have to want to shape our lives after the life of Christ instead of simply following our own whims or our own personal desires or the whims of the culture in which we live. I'm always intrigued by how people define the good life. People define it differently. Some of the ingredients of the good life that I have read are these. A good life is to be healthy instead of ill. It's to be loved and admired instead of hated and shunned. It's to be an insider rather than an outsider. It's to be confident instead of being insecure. It's to be beautiful instead of being ugly. It's to be rich instead of being poor. It's to be knowledgeable instead of being ignorant. It's to be entertained instead of being bored. It's to be in control of life instead of at the mercy of events. Nothing wrong with wanting to be, to have, or possess these things. Some years ago, a man named John O'Shaughnessy wrote a book entitled, Why People Buy, B-U-Y, Why People Buy. And in that book, he said that buying is a purposeful activity. It's motivated by the belief that by buying something, your life will be better and happier, and you will be able to achieve the good life. The Apostle Paul is saying to us in this lesson that you can't buy the good life. You can't buy simple goodness. Simple goodness is not for sale. It's not a human achievement. It is the byproduct of what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. It is the gift of the indwelling of God's Spirit within us, and it comes to us, if at all, when we allow love, the kind of sacrificial love demonstrated in the life and ministry of Jesus, to be the guiding principle of our lives and of the life of the community that enriches us in the church. May we pray. We thank you, O God, for the perfect clarity of your word in this lesson. We thank you for the way that Paul enunciated it long ago and for the way that it continues to challenge us today. We pray, O God, that in the year that we view in the future, that you will allow us to live more with the simple goodness you taught us through the Scriptures. Empower us by your Spirit. Challenge us by these lessons. And help us live lives that would honor you and enrich our relationships. Through Christ we pray. Amen. The starting point to this kind of life of simple goodness is to receive the overtures of grace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've never responded by faith and in trust to the invitation of Jesus to be his disciple, to live for him in the world, then I invite you today to come to the front and express your personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're not a part of a church fellowship in this community, there's no better day to place your life in the life and fellowship and ministry of Franklin Baptist Church than today. Whatever decision the Lord has placed upon your heart, I invite you to make it as we stand together and sing our hymn. May we stand.